Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. Welcome to another edition of our Smart Garden Show this morning. As promised, not only Julie Weisenhorn is on the line, but John Traffy as well. So we have a lot of help here. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, as Julie will agree, if you have a turf question, right, take advantage of John's presence. Right, Julie?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm just going to drink my tea over here.
Me too. It's good to see, good to hear from both of you. Thanks for joining us and helping our listeners out, as you always have. If you have, and in fact, of course, the texts are coming in already by leaps and bounds. If you have any question, the lawn or garden type, and you want to phone it in or text it in, just one number for either, 651-461-9226. Just ahead of the game here, because I'm anticipating more dormant seeding questions, John and Julie. Is it time yet, or do we have to wait till just before we get that first snow, or what's the deal with the ground temperature?
Soil temperature? No, right now is a great time for dormant seeding. So we're this cold snap that's coming through is definitely lowering things down enough to where we don't really have to worry about the grass seed that we do spread germinating right now. So, let the seed fly go ahead and put it down. But really any time between now and early March when soil temperatures are below around 40 degrees is a great time for dormant seeding.
Excellent. And fortunately, the winds have died down now this weekend after a couple of windy days or so. Makes a big difference if you're trying to spread some seed. I'm looking at texts, as I said, that already came in. Good morning says, a quick question on rose. We have a large David Austin English rose bush on the deck. How can we winter it? We do not have an attached insulated garage. 18-inch pot, bush is 3 feet high.
Oh, that's a great question, because a lot of people are using woody plants as somewhat kind of like annuals, but they want to grow them in containers. And so what I would do with that container is I would wrap the branches of the rose with some twine, kind of bring them together, group them together, and then I would wrap the whole shrub in like a tarp or put it into some kind of a protective cover, and then bury it with some leaves. If you have bags of leaves, you can just kind of pile them around the rose. Basically, you're creating kind of a little insulated space that will help the temperatures to drop gradually around that plant instead of shocking it when we hit these 20 degrees. So just use that twine, kind of group those branches together, and then just lay it down on its side and just cover it with a couple bags of leaves, or roll it up in a tarp, and then, or you can bury it in leaves too. Either way, it's easier to remove the bags of leaves than it is to rake all the leaves off later.
All right, very good.
You can use straw as well.
Let us grab a phone call this morning. Roger, calling in from Owatonna, Minnesota. Roger, thank you. What is your question this morning?
Thanks for taking my call. I've got a question about at my daughter's farm site. She's got some, I'm going to say fruit trees, but I think they're plum trees. She's just got three small ones that are maybe close to an inch in diameter for the trunk, so they're only 4 feet tall. my question is this. We would typically put a tile around them or something here when mm-hmm. the snow flies so that rabbits don't get at them. But they already did a little bit and made and did some fairly significant damage to the bark, mm-hmm. just 3, 4, 5 inches off the ground. So my question is this. I've now put tile around them, but they're loose, okay. you know. Is it better to wrap them? What would be best to help them heal? Would wrapping keep them warmer or something, you know?
Sure. So, do you have deer issues in your area?
Do we have what?
Do you have deer problems? Deer feeding?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. No, we're far enough away from water and stuff, so.
Okay. Well, what you want to do, it's a great idea to put that tree guard around the plant. Now, that tree guard should be white, not black. So if you put black tile around it, like drain tile, you want to actually replace that with a white tree guard. And the reason for that is that that white color reflects off the winter sun and prevents or alleviates any kind of cells from warming up on that trunk, which can cause some damage over the winter when it gets cold again. So you want to use a white tree guard so that it reflects that light. That's one thing. As far as the animal feeding, the best thing to use is hardware cloth. You can buy it online. You can buy it at a big box store, your local garden store. And I would go with a 4-foot high piece of roll of that and put it out a ways around that those plants. And work it down into the soil a little bit, and that will help animals from digging underneath it or alleviate any issues with spacing between the fencing and the ground that leaves a little gap. Basically, you want to protect those trees from any kind of future feeding. And you can use staples, lawn staples, to put those put that down, anchor that down. But also you could use rebar or some kind of post to hold it in place. And so you're really sealing off that plant using the hardware cloth from any future browsing. Next year, you'll want to look at those plants and just kind of keep an eye on them to see how they do. You may end up having to replace them if they've really been severely girdled by those that rabbit browsing. But this will at least keep them safe through the winter.
All right. Before we get back to the phones, I want to grab a text or two. What would be this text? The best strategy, John, for patches of crabgrass: dormant seed the spot, or crabgrass preventer in the spring.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of a dense and healthy turf is going to be the best defense against weeds. So, you could use a crabgrass preventer, or you could dormant seed. Unfortunately, you can't do both because the preventer would prohibit the grass seed from coming up next spring. So I would actually just dormant seed. And then if you do actually get some crabgrass and you really don't want it to be there, at that point, then you could spray it after. You can spray the crabgrass with a selective herbicide. There's many that work for post-emergent control of crabgrass is what you can search for on our website, extension.umn.edu. We have a number of different products that are listed that are safe on grass seedlings as the lawn is coming up. Or you may not have to really worry about them at all, depending upon how well your dormant seeded grass gets established. So that's where I would start. And I would just, make a decision in the early summer on what to do about crabgrass, if any, is there.
All right. Before we take a break, I want to grab another phone call. Marlene is calling from Woodbury this morning. Thank you, Marlene. What is your question?
Okay. We have some shrub roses that were cut down accidentally by the Itoy Association. Anyway, to protect them now in the winter, we've put wire around them. Wondering, when can I fill that wire area with leaves?
Well, good for you for putting the wire around and then also thinking about the leaves. You could probably start doing that anytime now because we're going to get this cold snap. And they shouldn't start regrowing at this point. So I would go ahead. You could put those leaves in probably anytime. I think you're safe at this point.
Okay, very good. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Be right back on the other side with more questions and answers. If you're just joining us, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappe from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions this morning at 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we're at 32. Not much warmer, maybe 35 the high for your Sunday tomorrow, partly sunny, near 34, but warming up by the end of the week. Right now, 32 here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. If you were just joining us here in the Smart Garden Show, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappe from the U of M answering those questions. Specifically, if you have turf questions, any lawn questions, John can feel those rather easily. So call us or text us, whatever your lawn and garden question is. 651-461-9226. Julie, this one says, can the tallest branches of high bush cranberry be pruned now?
We do not recommend pruning any shrubs at this point. And the reason for that is because when you prune a plant, it prompts the plant to put out new growth at that point at which you've made the cut. And we don't want any new growth coming out now because we're getting into the cold, dormant season. And that new growth may not make it, probably wouldn't make it through the winter. So hold off and just prune it next year after it blooms. And you can do a lot of renovation pruning. We have some really good videos on and information on the extension site at extension.umn.edu. And you can go to Yard and Garden, go to our trees and shrubs section, and you'll see videos on pruning and also information about that. So really good stuff. And that's what I would recommend doing with that particular plant.
John, a couple of questions related to leaves. This texture wants to rake before seeding, but they have a lot of dead leaves and thatch, so should I use a metal rake? That's one question. Another question related is if I've got a lot of leaves, how much should I remove? Should I remove all of them?
So for most lawns, we recommend just to try to mulch the leaves or mow them into the lawn as you mow. And so you're basically returning all those nutrients back to the soil that are going to feed the lawn and the trees in the area. But if you are looking at dormant seeding and you have really excessive amounts of tree leaves, in that situation, it's probably a good idea to remove them and then have them composted off-site, or you move them to your landscaping beds as a dormant seeding, dormant season mulch or ground cover. But it really just comes down to how much tree leaves you have. I would just continue to mulch the leaves, and if it gets to a point where you see more tree leaves that are mulched than you do grass, at that point, that's when I would start bagging them. And then, once the tree leaves are done falling or you have them all picked up or mulched, at that point, then you can dormant seed if you're going to. So that's kind of the decision order that I would use for deciding about how to dormant seed and manage your tree leaves if that's something you're looking to do.
Very good. As far as new plants, Julie, best time to mulch with leaves?
You could do that now. As you're raking up your leaves, you can go ahead and just move them into your garden beds. As John mentioned, it makes a great ground cover. It makes a great protective mulch around those roots. And what we're trying to do is moderate the soil temperature change that we're going to be going through now. So we want those temperatures to gradually get colder in the soil so that it's not so shocking to the roots. And then in the spring, it does the opposite. It actually helps them gradually warm up after being dormant for the winter season.
All right. John, is it too late? Texter wants to know to apply fall fertilizer.
Yeah, we want to, anytime we're applying a fertilizer, we want to make sure that the plants have the best ability of taking it up, because that's why we're doing it. And we don't want those nutrients to basically be up to nature on whether or not they're going to stay there or return to the soil. So that's a long way of saying right now the grasses are not growing, so they're not going to be able to take up those nutrients. So it is too late to apply a fertilizer. your best bet is now just to wait until the spring, in which case I would wait until the grass begins to grow again in the springtime. You know, right around the time you think you need to mow it is, for the first time, is a great time for your spring fertilization.
Julie, I think you guys, the Abiders, are playing another benefit, right?
We are, yeah. We're playing for the Western Communities Rotary. So the Rotary does a lot of great things for communities here and abroad. And this is one of their biggest fundraisers. It's called the Tonka Brew Fest. We played for, with the exception of the COVID year when they didn't hold it, we played every year, so 13 years. And a big day, all local breweries, probably I think 15 to 18 breweries and cideries as well. And yeah, there's still some tickets available at tonkabrewfest.com. And we are playing from 3 to 6 p.m. So it's an afternoon gig today. And all the money goes to the Rotary. And we have a lot of great sponsors. There's brats being cooked on the grill. And you get to go along and sample from all these different great Minnesota breweries. So it's a really great event, raises important funding for our Rotary, and hope to see some of our listeners out there.
Yeah, absolutely. A good day for
it. It's a lot
too,
of fun.
Huh? Mm-hmm. All right. It's always fun when you guys are playing. Sure. All right. Listener says this via text, I have a small backyard garden, tomatoes, peppers, cukes, beans. Can I leave the veggies that have fallen off over the summer in the soil to break down over winter as a form of compost?
Sounds like a good idea, but it's not. And the reason for that is that all of that bacteria that that forms on those plants and stuff, it needs to really compost properly and not just be laying on the soil. It also attracts pests as well. So you'll be getting animals out there digging and feeding. And last but not least, all of the seeds that are in those cucumbers or tomatoes will resprout next year, whether you like it or not. So best thing to do is clean up that area. Compost them in a compost bin or a pile that you have separate off the site, and go ahead and just tidy up that area and be ready for spring.
Okay. A listener says this via text, we planted a hydrangea tree 3 weeks ago. Is it okay to stop watering is the first question, and should we put leaves or mulch around the base?
Yes, you can. I would continue to water it if you can. I mean, now you may be turning off your outdoor spigot. So at this point, it's kind of like, do I have to turn off my water source? And that's usually when people stop watering. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of late rain, in the next coming week or so. So I would say if you can continue to water, keep watering. The other thing you want to do too is mulch the root area with, you can use leaves, you can use wood mulch, just to protect, again, those roots from as they go dormant, so that it's going gradually and the soil temperature is more gradual and moderate. The last thing I would do too is what we talked about earlier, is to protect that stem. And you can use a tree guard. Tree guards are white. They look kind of like drain tile. They're corrugated, slit up one side. You can just cut it to the right length for that trunk and just slide it over or around that plant. And the reason for that is what I mentioned earlier, is that in the winter, the winter sun can be pretty intense. It can heat up the cells of that thin new bark, and it can cause them to split if they're not protected. That white guard reflects that light off and prevents that from happening. The last thing I would recommend is what we talked about earlier too, is about protecting that stem from browsing, from animal browsing, and that's using hardware cloth. Again, I recommend a 4-foot length if possible, and the higher the better, because we don't know how much snow we're going to get, and rabbits can sit up on snow, so if you get a foot of snow, then they can sit up on top of that, and they'll girdle that. If they can get at that stem, they'll feed on it and girdle it, and that will kill your plant. So those are some tips for any thin-barked or young plant, like the hydrangea tree or new birch or maple or cherry or plums, about how to protect them. And we do have a great web page on that too, on winterizing your plants in our trees and shrubs section.
And of course that's extension.
.umn.edu.
Okay.
Da-da-cha.
Yes. What a team. All right. Hang on, Julie and John, please. We're going to have a look at that forecast, see what the weather is going to be for our lawns and gardens this coming week. And then we'll pick up on more questions here. 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M answering those very good and many lawn and garden questions. You know, we were talking off air during the break about the composting and other sites, and I know you guys were talking. I was kind of eavesdropping. And what can we tell our listeners about certain points of composting?
Yeah, if someone is looking to learn more about or just kind of brush up on, you know, their backyard composting, Laura and I, Laura Irish Hansen, another guest on the Smart Gardens show, and myself will be hosting a live webinar this Tuesday, the 11th, from 6 to 7:30 online. It's free to attend, you know, digitally. You can just get to it by going to the extension website for extension.umn.edu, and you can go to courses and events, and it'll be under Master Gardener events, or you could just find it by searching using your favorite web search engine, Backyard Home Composting Minnesota, and you should be able to find the link to the webinar on how to register for it, and hopefully we'll see you online.
Very good. Excellent.
Hey, John, it's actually right on the homepage. If people scroll down to upcoming courses and events, it's the first one there.
Oh, excellent.
So really
as soon
easy
as,
to find.
You click on that extension.umn.edu, and there it is.
Yeah, just scroll down to upcoming courses. That's how I found it.
All right. Very good. Easy to find. Great resource. Grabbing a call this morning, Jane is checking in from Apple Valley, I believe. Thanks for waiting, Jane. What is your question?
I have a very beautiful geranium that was in a basket this summer, and it's still blooming. I would like to try to keep it over or keep parts of it over. I've heard there's a way to do that in a paper bag. Can you tell me how to do that?
Okay. You can do it a couple different ways. One is you can just move the plant indoors and put it in a sunny window and grow it through the winter as a house plant. And if you do that, you just want to, like any plant that's been outside, clean it all up, take out any fallen leaves, cut things back so that it's kind of a little bit more compact, because they can get pretty wrangly or kind of, you know, leggy. Cut it back, put it in the window, and then just water it. And that's one way to take care of it. If you don't want to do that, you can leave it in the pot and move it into just a dark, cool area that's, say, in your basement. And just leave it down there. Give it a little water about once a month or so. And I do that in my garage. My garage is about 45 degrees through the winter. And I just tuck it into the corner. I let the leaves drop off and just give it a little bit of water every month or so. And those are a couple ways to do it. As far as the paper bag goes, I think that's a little harder on the plant, because you have to take it out of the pot, clean off the roots, cut it back, and then it sits in this paper bag all winter. And I think it's better to leave it in the pot and just give it a little bit of water and let the leaves drop off, and then take it out in the spring into a sunny window or outside when it's ready, when it's warm enough to go outside.
Very good. I'm looking at a text that asks this: do phlox spread by seed or rhizome? I need to control mine to a smaller area.
Well, they seed quite a bit. I think it's mostly by seed that they move around, that they colonize, because you can find them in different parts of your garden. And the best thing to do is after they bloom is to cut the seed heads off so that they don't spread any further. You know, they don't develop seed. As far as now, you would just want to be digging them up and getting rid of those plants. And then just next year after they bloom, just be sure to be deadheading them. And that should help to kind of rein in the seeds.
Listener wants to know, when can we trim shrubs like dogwoods, nine bark, viburnum, things like that?
I'm going to send you to our trees and shrubs page, because we have three videos on pruning shrubs, and I know that we cover the dogwood in that, and that's a common plant that that a lot of people want to prune. They want to keep those nice young red branches. Those have the best color through the winter and through the year. And so I'm going to direct you to that. We've got this series of three pruning videos, and that's at extension.umn.edu. Go to Trees and Shrubs or Yard and Garden to Trees and Shrubs, and then we have the pruning section.
Okay. Here's a question for both of you. Should I drain my garden pond / waterfall, 175-gallon hard plastic liner? I remove the pond plants and bring them in the house for the winter. But should I just leave the water in for winter or drain it? There's a home improvement question for you.
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead.
Tag, you're it. I would leave it. I don't think you need to drain it, especially that amount. It's going to freeze solid, so I think it would be okay. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it would. I think that there are some. You can tell that we're out of our element here because we're hesitating so much on answering this. So, I've seen both instances where people just leave the water in, and where people have drained it or pumped out the water. Yeah. I would probably defer to somebody else, but tentatively, I think it's probably fine just because of the amount of times I've seen it and it not be a long-term issue. Just to leave the water in.
Yeah, I think the one thing to do is winterize the pump. So you don't want to have any water in that pump because it can freeze and crack the pump. So I know I've got some pondless water features in my yard, and we always take them apart. And we don't leave any water in them. They're not that big. But I think with ponds, you can leave the water in there. You just want to winterize any kind of pump or hosing, anything like that.
I wonder too, how tough the plastic liner is.
That's true. There's a group called Pond Enthusiasts and Water Garden Societies, and you might be able to look at their web pages and take a look and see what they talk about for winterizing a pond of that size.
Very good. Is it okay? I know we're getting these from time to time, especially this time of year. Is it okay to trim oak trees?
Yes, you can trim oak trees now. We don't recommend trimming from April through July, mid-July, due to the prevalence of oak wilt at that point. That can really be detrimental and cause a lot of disease issues by pruning at that time. But you can prune now, yes.
Okay. Listeners sent this text: when boulevard trees are planted, will the wire baskets cause any root damage, or should they be removed?
According to research, they will not. They do not need to be removed. And in fact, they found that removing, and this comes from our Department of Forestry or Forest Resources, that removing that basket causes more harm because it doesn't help hold in the ripball. The ripball can kind of fall apart. So you do not need to remove them.
Okay. A listener sent this. Is it too late to plant crabapple trees? They sent this from Rogers, Minnesota.
Well, if you've got a bunch of crabapple trees or you've got one that's in a container, it's pretty late to be planting, but I would probably put it in the ground now and water it really well until the ground freezes. And then also mulch the root area as well. And protect it like we talked about earlier with fencing, particularly crab apples. They're delicious, apparently. So, and they are really targets for animal browsing.
Okay. John, this one asks, what is the best way to prevent moles from tunneling and killing grass throughout the winter under a construction blanket?
So there are typically what the pest that is normally causing problems over winter, whether it's under a blanket or it's under snow, is voles with a V. So moles are typically active in the summer. Voles are active all the time, but they're most problematic burrowing underneath the blankets or snow. So they're really is no way of preventing them. There are actually a couple of treatments for preventing them from damage. As I scramble to find this, I will I'll just actually circle back around if we don't mind to this, sure. And I will mention this in just a little bit. But there are some, you know, there are a couple of non-pesticide options for preventing them that are apparently effective.
We'll be taking a break momentarily. Maybe you can do a little homework.
Yeah. One thing I do know is that is removing tall grass from around trees. So if you have trees that are growing in a lawn area and you haven't trimmed around them, is to remove that tall grass, because the voles will, then they could be nibbling on the bark of your tree, and they like to hide in that tall grass. So that, from a tree standpoint or a shrub standpoint, it'd be good to like trim that away from the tree or the shrub.
All right. Should we cut down phlox, Rebecca and Iris now?
You can. Usually we recommend, if they're still green, they're still photosynthesizing. So, but we're getting pretty late in the season. So if you're wanting to tidy up a little bit, you sure could cut them down now.
All right. Well, as we're tidying up and John doing a little bit of homework, we're going to take this break and be back on the other side. 651-461-9226. We'll pick up on more text questions when we come back here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks for joining us. By the way, if you just did, Julie Weisenhorn and John Traffic from the U of M are answering those questions today. And by the way, next hour, Andy Lindis will be fielding any kind of home improvement question you may have on our Lindis Hour. We have callers. We have texters. John, I'm not sure if you picked up on that homework yet or if you need a little more time.
Well, there are a couple of repellents that are you know, can be effective, but they're generally expensive, and you know, they, depending upon the amount of precipitation or rain and snow over winter, you know, they may get washed off. But a number of the repellents, there's a number of vole with a V repellents that involve some form of mint, like it's peppermint, and then oftentimes they have castor oil. That apparently work pretty well. You know, this is coming from somebody who runs a very large lawn care company in the state. But I've also have read some conflicting reports from other extension services, so saying that they're not very effective. But I would say, if it's something that's a really problematic, give it a shot and let us know how it goes. Yeah, prevention is the best key for voles.
Very good. Let's grab a couple phone calls while we have time. Frank, first up, calling in from Anoka. Thank you, Frank. What is your question, please?
Hi. I have large and small patches of grass in my yard. They're a lighter color than the regular grass, and it seems like the grass is growing on top of the soil. It's easy to pull out. I do mulch, and I do detach the yard a couple times a year. I do aerate at least once a year, and for the last 2 years, I have treated it for grub. And I was wondering what it is and how to fix that.
Yeah, those patches, you know, they could be, actual turf grasses that were planted, and they're just a different cultivar or biotype that's just a little bit lighter green. I suspect, based on what you're describing, and you can compare with what you're seeing there with, maybe you can look this up online, but creeping bent grass is actually a turf grass that's used on golf courses. It's a lighter green color. It tends to grow in a patch, and it spreads by stolons. It gets real puffy, and it can be a problematic weed. There are chemical options for treating it, for selectively removing it from your lawn. That's mesotrione is the active ingredient that works best on it, that won't necessarily harm the rest of your lawn. I think you can also just dig it up manually if you're opposed to using herbicides.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Karen calling in from St. Paul this morning. Thank you for waiting, Karen. What is your question?
Hi. Yes. My question is, I have a honeysuckle shrub that's established. It's probably about 5 feet tall, and it half of it is still green from the bottom up. I'm wondering at what point do I cut it back and how far do I cut it back?
Okay, that plant is probably, this is more of a spring or early summer bloomer, so you can prune it. I believe it blooms on new wood, in other words, wood that it's producing at the beginning of the season, so you could prune that back now. You could also wait until after it blooms next summer, and you could prune it after that. And with those plants, you want to, if you're just trying to kind of shape it, you can kind of head it back. In other words, shorten it down a little bit, go about a third of the way, or you can remove some of the major trunks out of that. Again, take a look at the pruning videos that are on our trees and shrubs page at extension.umn.edu under Yard and Garden.
I think we have time for this one, probably for John. 5 years ago, Texas says we had remodeling done. Of course, the yard was torn up. The area where the new sod was placed now continues to have more and more quackgrass. We don't have a quackgrass in other areas of the lawn. It's been suggested to me that the sod used probably had the quackgrass in it. Is there a selective product to kill out the quackgrass and not destroy the rest of the lawn? Texas says, I sure hope so.
Well, quackgrass may have come from the sod, but generally the sod is inspected before being sent or being sold. So, and sod farms themselves are very concerned about quackgrass spreading. So I would be a little bit skeptical. I mean, you can find quackgrass literally everywhere. And that would be part of my response to this question is acceptance is part of our control or management of quackgrass, just because it is everywhere. It's very difficult to remove once you get it into an area. Now, with that said, there are no selective options for removing it from your lawn that won't also harm your grass. The best way of actually killing it is using a non-selective herbicide like glyphosate that can move through the plant and kill off those rhizomes below ground of the quackgrass. Of course, if you do that, you would have to reseed. And you can do that, but it's going to take a few applications and several weeks to months of basically observation to make sure you actually get it all.
All right. Are pine needles okay to put in raspberry bushes for mulch?
Yeah, absolutely. Pine needles are a great mulch. So a good reuse of resources that you have. They look great. They allow air and water to flow through well. So, yeah, go ahead.
Is this the best time to prune my apple trees, or should I wait till spring?
No, you want to wait till probably February or March when the plants are dormant.
Oh, this is a lightning round. We're getting them done here. I planted two potentilla bushes this past spring. Anything I need to do to winterize them?
No, potentilla is a very tough plant. They're great plants when they're planted in the right location. They really bloom nicely. They're pollinator friendly, but nothing to do to protect them.
You mentioned wrapping and covering potted roses with leaves. Would you suggest actually burying the rose in the soil? A relative has done this.
Yeah, you can do that. Usually it's called the Minnesota tip method. They use it at the Arboretum in the Wilson Rose Garden where they have non-hardy tea roses. And you dig a trench, you lift the rose and literally tip it into the trench, and then you bury it, and then you have to unbury it in the spring. So if you just have one or two roses and you have enough room around them, that would work. But it's a pretty labor-intensive process for most roses, for most rose growers. So, okay. But yeah, you can do that. It's called the Minnesota tip method.
I think we have time for another question. An interesting one here. Can you explain how to take the temperature of the soil?
There you go, John.
If you have a meat thermometer, that's actually a good way of doing it. Obviously you'd want to just clean it off before using it again. But, there's really no difference between a meat thermometer and a soil thermometer. Maybe just the quality of the materials for a soil thermometer, but... that's one way of doing it. There's also a couple of websites that you can use. The Minnesota Department of Agriculture, MDA, has a website where you can go and see really any time and see nearly live updates for soil temperatures all around the state. But you just want to make sure that you're looking at the right soil depth for that soil temperature as you're looking that data up.
Okay. We are just about out of time. The Abiders, you guys are playing today.
Yep, Tonka Brew Fest. You can get tickets still at tonkabrewfest.com, 3 to 6 p.m. in Minutrist at Galewoods Farm.
And, John, when can we see, how can we see you and Laura?
Tuesday from 6 to 7:30, we have a free webinar on backyard composting.
Just like that. And you know what I forgot to mention? Get to the Arboretum.
Yeah.
What a wonderful time of year. Any time of the year.
But, absolutely.
But Julie, how do we find them on the web?
arb.umn.edu. Winter Lights tickets. This is a light show that we have. Those tickets are on sale now. And also the Apple House has converted to the Apple House Holiday Boutique. So
ooh,
do your shopping early.
Get out there.
And we
all
have
right.
Gift to the Max Day coming up, too.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Julie and John. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Denny.
You bet.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.